Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. And as expected, last night, President Trump made it official, announcing that he is going to be running for another term in the White House. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The president making the announcement there at beautiful Mar-a-Lago. I mean, the place was packed and very enthusiastic crowd. No doubt there are a lot of people that that are not very happy about the president's decision, and we're going to get into that in just a little while. But I'm curious to hear from you. The president last night delivering a speech. Look, I thought it was a fine speech. The question is, was it effective? Did I thought the president's tone, the president's tenor was spot on. I thought he was very measured in how he delivered the speech. He was on point. He did not stray. He didn't chase any squirrels. And as near as I can tell, the only people he offended were people on the left. So that is a good thing. There are many people that are questioning they're calling it the lack of enthusiasm. They're saying the speech was boring. I don't know that it was necessarily boring. It was just long, well over an hour last night. The networks, let's see here, CNN, and I don't know if this was breaking news or a miracle, but CNN actually broadcast the speech. They dipped out about, 45 minutes or so into it. Fox News carried the speech, but they dipped out of it and then dipped back in. Newsmax, I believe, is the only network that carried the speech cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, as they say. So Newsmax, I thought, did a terrific job with their coverage. And by that, I mean, they just let the president speak. There was no commentary until after the speech was over. But MSDNC did not cover the speech at all. They were they decided to take a pass, and they were in regular programming, as was Fox Business Network. I was kind of surprised at Fox Business. But again, after reading a report late last night, It's probably going to be the last time that Fox News is kind to President Trump. Looks like the Murdochs, Rupert and Lachlan, are turning on Trump. They warned him, do not run for the White House or else we're going to pull our funding, or we're going to pull our support. By all indications, Fox News is going to be throwing their weight behind Ron DeSantis. According to the Guardian newspaper, they say DeSantis is the younger, more sanitized version of Trump. Yesterday also, you had Chris Christie, who was bashing Donald Trump in front of a group of Republican governors, and he got sustained applause. You can read into that what you will. All that to say, President Trump is not going to have a lot of the resources he had the first two go-arounds. He's not going to have Fox News behind him. The Wall Street Journal's already condemned Trump. And by the way, the New York Post, man, what a bunch of rejects they are. The New York Post posted a little tiny headline at the bottom of the page, of the front page, that said, Florida man makes announcement. And then it directed people to what, page 26 in the newspaper, where they covered Trump's announcement that he was going to be running for election. Re-election. So my question is, you had a chance to watch did you watch the speech? And if you did, are you on Team Trump? Did Trump do it for you last night? Are you on the Trump train, or are you willing to step back and see who else is going to run. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, again, we've got a lot of audio to get through. I thought the president, again, ended strong. I thought he started strong. One of my favorite lines is when he said this, cut number six.
We elected a group of incredibly talented America First leaders who will be stars of our party for many years to come. In the popular vote, another thing that's not discussed for the House, we must remember that Republicans won 5 million more votes, the largest margin in many, many years, over the Democrats. 5 million more votes, that's a big thing. Breaking the radical Democrats' grip on Congress was crucial. So in other words, because of our great congressmen and all of our great congressmen and congresswomen, we have taken over Congress. Nancy Pelosi has been fired. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah, that was a great line last night. President also said that drug dealers, yeah, we're going to send you to the death chamber. Cut two.
Every drug dealer during his or her life on average will kill 500 people with the drugs they sell, not to mention the destruction of families. But we're going to be asking everyone who sells drugs, gets caught selling drugs, to receive the death penalty for their heinous acts, because it's the only way. We don't need any more blue ribbon committees. We don't need, I don't like to say this, and I don't even know if the American public is ready for it, and a lot of my people say, please don't say that, sir, that's not nice. They kill 500 people each on average. And if you don't do this, in China, when I was with President Xi, I said, President, do you have a drug problem? No, we don't. He looked at me like I didn't know what I was doing.
All right, so there you go, Donald Trump. I thought it was a fine speech. I don't think he had any errors, no mistakes. My question, is it enough? Is what you heard last night, is that enough to get you on board the Trump train? We're going to be taking your calls, going to take a quick break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We've got a great lineup here. House Freedom Caucus Chairman Scott Perry is going to drop by. Also, Andy Biggs, who was running against Kevin McCarthy for the speakership. We're going to give you the latest there. Andy Biggs is here. A Trump spokesperson, Liz Harrington, drops by. And also Kevin Kiley, who just won a seat in Congress, flipped a Democrat seat there in California. We're going to be talking to him as well. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You guys have helped build MyPillow into an incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. Right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will now have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98, and believe me when I say you will get a great night's sleep in these. Their six-piece towel set made with USA cotton comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, typically retailed at $89.98, now just $39.98 with my promo code. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
All right, hello, people. Todd Starnes here. Hey, we're following some breaking news for you out of Los Angeles County. This is in Whittier, California, where a lot of law enforcement recruits were out on a morning run. We're being told that a driver plowed into the group At least 22 officers were hit. 14 of the recruits suffered minor injuries. We understand that as many as 11 are critically injured. We don't know much about the driver other than he was going the wrong way on the road. We don't know if this was intentional. They're still getting all the information. This is unfolding even as we speak. We'll be checking in with our good friend Pastor Paul Champel out of Lancaster Baptist Church. We were scheduled to have him on another story, but he has a lot of law enforcement personnel are members of the church there, and maybe he'll have some information for us a little bit later on. But again, folks, pray for these law enforcement recruits that are being treated right now. What a disgusting thing. And you do, I mean, the first question, is this part of the defund the police terrorism? I mean, we don't know, but we're going to find out. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Gainesville, Georgia. Dave is on the line. And Dave, by the way, big day tomorrow for you guys. Herschel Walker coming to town, going to have a big rally Thursday night.
Yeah, we're excited.
All right, Dave, what's on your mind about Trump?
Well, I thought the speech last night was great. It almost seemed kind of like a new Trump. I noticed there were several opportunities where he would have took a dig or a shot at somebody, and he refrained from doing that. When he mentioned term limits, I thought that got a great response. And when he was also talking about insider trading, people profiting from that, you know, we all knew who he was talking about, and he didn't name any names. I thought that was smart on his part.
Dave, based on what you saw last night, does Donald Trump get your support during the Republican primary?
As of right now, he does, and I love DeSantis. I don't have anything bad to say about DeSantis, but I think until, you know, Trump kind of, if he, you know, self-implodes or does something to himself, I think it's his party.
All right, Dave, appreciate the call. We got you down. You're a Trump guy. Let's go to Jeff in Gainesville, Georgia. Jeff, what say you?
I say that I don't believe Donald Trump should run again. I believe that he's got too much against him, and I don't think they're going to quit trying to get him until they get him with something. And he's got too many foes in both parties. So, I don't believe, and he's innocent. He's innocent. He's been my man, and I believe he's God's man for the time. But, you know, I just don't believe that he has a chance of winning anymore. Maybe DeSantis would be the one to go with now, because Donald Trump's just got too much against him. And if people get behind him, I mean, he was the best president this country's ever had, in my opinion, that I know of. So anyway, that's what I got to say.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, that's an interesting thing you brought up, because Trump is going to be battling his own party, the establishment wing, and they're going to be coming after him. They're going to try to sabotage him. So he's got to not only fight the Democrats and the mainstream media, he's going to have to take on the establishment wing of his own party, and he is not going to have Fox News Channel there to present the truth of these accusations that have been levied and will be levied against him. So that's something you got to factor in. And the other big part of that is, where does Trump go to siphon off voters from the Democrats? What demographics will join him that have not joined him to this point? And those are all legitimate questions that, you know, they're going to have to answer along the way. Jeff, appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. Maria Bartiromo was weighing in on this earlier today on Fox News. Let's take a listen.
We'll keep pushing back on. They don't want to go into a whole nother storm of hate, and there is Trump derangement syndrome.
Right. There's definitely Trump derangement, and I think he started even that last night. He started with the China virus. He started with, you know, poking names at DeSantis, and we've heard that, and people are tired of it. Look, I also think that, you know, DeSantis and Youngkin, like you said, are really the future of the party, right? They're in a generation that I think needs to come forward, and as much as, you know, his policies were good, Trump's policies were good in the first in the first term, I don't think the majority of the country really wants to go back there. I'll tell you, I live in Florida. Florida's fully behind DeSantis, no matter what Trump wants to tell you. They are fully behind DeSantis.
You know, it's interesting, Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump yesterday said she's bowing out of politics just after her father's announcement.
Right.
The former first daughter telling Fox that she'll be staying out of the political arena altogether.
All right, and that is true. Ivanka not going to be engaged in the political process. May I say something here? That's a good thing. I think the big problem in the first term of President Donald Trump was the kids, specifically Ivanka and Jared. They're flaming liberals. They're the ones that screwed up the president's agenda. So as far away from the White House as you can keep Ivanka and Jared, I think the better off Trump is going to be. This is my take on it. I know he loves his daughter, but the reality is she's got no business being anywhere near that White House. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Rick in Alaska. Rick, what say you?
Hey, Todd, how you doing down there?
Good, good.
Trump, you know, if Trump really cared about our country, what he would do is he'd be the vanguard. You know, stand up there, just attack the Democrat Party and Biden. He's got to leave DeSantis alone. He's got to leave Youngkin alone. And I know that's really hard for him. But if he truly loved our country and wanted us to be successful, he's got to focus on that. I mean, that's what he's got to do.
If he's going up against DeSantis in a primary, who do you support, Rick?
Oh, DeSantis.
You're a DeSantis guy. Yeah. Look, you're not the only one. I mean, we ran a poll on the Twitter feed last night, and it's 60-30 or something like that. We'll have to go get the numbers. But Trump is leading that poll. But the point is, this is a divided Republican Party right now. And when it comes to Trump, you got people on both sides. They love the guy, but they want DeSantis to run.
Well, Todd, we've talked before, and like I said before, the only person that can really unite the Democrat Party is Donald Trump. And he brings so many negatives, and it's not that he's doing things that are negative, but there's so much animus on the other side that there's people that will vote who wouldn't vote normally just because Trump is running. And I'd like to avoid that.
Now, Rick, the big question, of course, is what's happening in Alaska. You guys have that ranked-to-choice voting, and you still don't know who's going to be your senator.
Well, actually, they know who's won. They're deliberately holding the ballot, the final ballot release until, what, next week? Is that just specifically to drag it out. I think that Murkowski's going to win. I know Chewbacca just increased her lead a little bit with a little, they did like a 70,000 vote drop. This whole thing is just a joke.
Well, you can thank Mitch McConnell if that happens and Murkowski pulls ahead. What a disgrace he is.
Well, McConnell and McCarthy, both of them did their best to fight a Republican candidates this year. And I don't understand why people aren't just calling these guys out, and how they're going to get elected to any position within the caucus just amazes.
All right, Rick, appreciate your call. Let's go to Brenda, Morehead City, North Carolina. Brenda, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I enjoy your radio program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call and say that I've heard several people over the last couple weeks say that they voted for Trump and they love Trump, but... And I just want to say I voted for Trump twice. I will be voting for him the third time. And I think he was the greatest president in my lifetime. And he's proven that he can do the job. And I hope he wins. And thank you very much.
Brenda, you are a kind lady. Thank you for those words. And you're also a very succinct. And we appreciate that. Pithy, I think, is what Bill O'Reilly used to say. Thank you, Brenda. Hey, look, folks, we're going to keep going to the lines here. Hang tight. Got to take a break. Congressman-elect Kevin Kiley's going to be joining us. Also, a very dangerous piece of legislation we've got to talk to you about. This is going to put a target on every church in America. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of Republican senators who are going to be supporting what they're calling the Respect for Marriage Act. But it's anything but that. We're going to tell you all about that. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. And, of course, we're keeping an eye on what's happening out in California, too. That horrible accident. 22 law enforcement recruits in the hospital. We'll be right back, America. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Very busy news day, and we're following this breaking news near Los Angeles where a group of police recruits were out for a morning run, a morning jog. We understand a driver plowed into the group. He was going the wrong way. At least 22 of those officers were hit and injured. 11, we understand, in critical condition. That's according to KTTV out there in Los Angeles. So be praying for those folks. We have no idea if this was intentional or not. We will be monitoring this story throughout the day. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us the newest member of Congress from the brand new 3rd Congressional District in California, our good friend Kevin Kiley. Kevin, good to have you with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you, as always.
And last night I was watching the president's remarks, and don't know if you heard this, but the president gave you a shout-out last night.
I did. You know, I'm actually here in D.C. because they have this mandatory training for new members of Congress, so I wasn't able to watch it live, but I started getting all kinds of texts on my phone started blowing up and realized something had happened. So, that was, certainly very flattering, very humbling, and very kind of him to say.
Yeah, when you're a lawmaker and your cell phone starts to explode, that's either really, really great news or really, really bad news.
That's so, right.
No wiggle room there, Kevin. Let's talk about the election. This was a huge win. I know that President Trump endorsed you. How big was that for you in the win over Democrat Kermit Jones?
Well, it really helped to underline the theme of my campaign, which is that we need to go back to what was working. We had a secure border. We had a economy that was doing phenomenally. We had crime going down, and we had support for law enforcement. And Joe Biden came into office and reversed all of those policies to absolutely disastrous effect. And so, I'm hopeful that with this victory, with a new majority in the House, we can put the brakes on this train wreck of an administration, bring a little measure of accountability, and hopefully start to get this country back on track.
Kevin, we all know supermajority of Democrats control California. So for any Republican to win, that is a big deal. How important was the ballot harvesting to what you guys were doing? We've been hearing a lot about that and the successes of it in some states.
Well, I mean, I think that, it's been used in some cases in strategic ways. In our particular race, I don't think it made a huge impact one way or the other. I actually have a district that has a very high voter turnout that always has. And so we really just focused on getting our message out, reaching sort of independent, undecided voters with a strong message about the economy, about immigration, about crime, as well as making sure that, our own voters, Republicans, were getting out to vote and, could see that we're fighting for the sort of issues that they care about. And so I think it all came together in the right way, and obviously very happy with the results.
Let's talk about what's happening now. You said you're in D.C. What is it that they have you guys going through? This is this sort of like a boot camp for Congress people?
sort of. I mean, it's a lot of it's just sort of, you know, logistical type stuff, how to set up your office and how to hire your staff and, you know, security type issues and so on and so forth. But it's two of the next 3 weeks is all of the new members are out here.
Well, depending on what news agency you follow, Republicans either have the majority or they're just one vote or one congressperson away from the majority. What's going to be your decision? Have you reached a decision about who you're going to vote for, who you're going to support for speaker?
Well, the conference has nominated Kevin McCarthy, and so I'm confident that he will be receiving the unanimous support of our conference on January 3rd. With that being said, I think it's extremely important that, you know, all of the voices and perspectives that exist within our conference are heard and that we have, them represented in leadership. But ultimately, I think you're going to see us united in ending the Speaker Pelosi-ship, the other way around, the Pelosi speakership. We might as well call it the Pelosi-ship at this point, given the way that she's sort of transformed that office into something different than it ever was and has had, you know, just extreme abuses in the way that she's run the chamber. But I think that you have a great deal right now of unity for the proposition that we need to, have new leadership and to start doing things differently. And around the core issues right now that are causing such harm to people across this country, I think you're going to find a pretty united conference as well as far as the direction that we need to go.
It's time to put the brakes on this radical Biden agenda. And, you know, investigations that need to be had, they need to be had. But you guys have to be about the business of the people. And if you do, I think you're going to be in the majority for a long time.
That's right. And that's really an important point, is that when it comes to oversight, this is really now in the hands of the House of Representatives, because the Democrats have the gavels in the Senate. And, we have, of course, the Biden administration in the White House, but we have a Republican-controlled House. And, what's important to note about the midterm elections is that we didn't just elect an entirely new Senate. Only a third of the senators were up. Obviously, we didn't elect a president. It's the House that was entirely up for election. And the framers designed the House to be the part of our government that is most immediately responsive to public opinion, that is closest to the people. And so the people of this country have just voted for a change of leadership. They're looking for change, and I think it's going to be extremely important that we hit the ground running to deliver that change. And that does perhaps start with exercising in a very aggressive way the oversight function of the House to get to the bottom of a lot of these things that are going on with the Biden administration, to provide oversight, to bring in members of the administration, cabinet officials to testify under oath, to get answers. And I think that, there's going to be a lot going on that front here shortly after we get sworn in.
And of course, Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, is going to have to be held accountable for what's been happening at our border. And it sounds like that's going to be a big issue for you.
I think that's probably number one, is looking into a lot of what's going on there, because, you know, the numbers we're seeing, Todd, are just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, they even delayed it leading up to the election, the record numbers. It's interesting. This is a common tactic in California. They try to hide bad news as long as they can. They even tried to delay the release of student test scores until after the election. But you talk to voters. This is the sort of thing that has gotten so bad that, you know, it's almost not even a partisan issue. It's like Democrats, Republicans, and independents, I think, recognize that what's happening at the border is absolutely unacceptable. And so I think it is really incumbent on us to respond to the call for change the American people have just issued and to bring some major accountability there.
Well, I like hearing that. And Kevin, we're going to let you get back to your training. Good luck to you. And it's going to be exciting to have you up on Capitol Hill.
Thanks, Todd. Much appreciated.
All right. Kevin Kiley, everybody, the new Republican congressman from the 3rd Congressional District there in California. And it's always a great day when you can get a Republican elected out of that state. And clearly, he's going to be one of the conservatives, reliable conservatives up on Capitol Hill. All right. Look, before we take a break, I want to go to the phones here. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in. Let's go to Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, earlier we heard somebody say that every single person in Florida was a DeSantis supporter. What say you?
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. They're obviously talking to a small minority. A lot of people do like DeSantis. We respect what he's done. But, you know, you got to think, too. Also, those that run against Trump have to say what they can do for this country. But Trump has already proven what he has done and will continue to do even more. Todd, we have time. We don't have time to put a new president in office. But that's what the Democrats want, so they can control and walk all over someone new and continue their destruction of this country while filling their pockets and taxpayers' money. Todd, we have one shot at this now. That's it. One shot. I think DeSantis is good. I don't think he's ready to go in yet. He's not. Trump is, I think, the person that's going to get this done. And people have to start seeing that. If they don't, they're going to have some problems.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out a way, and it's doable, Mark, but I at the end of the day, I think the best possible ticket for the Republicans could be a Trump-DeSantis unity ticket. And a lot of people are saying there's no way that's ever going to happen. But I would say just hold off on that, and I would direct people back to what happened in 1980. And, Mark, that was the year Ronald Reagan got the nomination. He had to pick a vice presidential candidate. And in that particular story, Ronald Reagan, representing the conservatives, had to unify the party. And the way they ended up unifying the party was bringing in George H.W. Bush as the moderate. But Reagan put together a coalition, and that's how they were able to score that massive upset and landslide victory back in 1980, and I can see that percolating between Trump and DeSantis right now.
Oh, I totally agree, and I think Ivanka staying in the background is a good idea too. She needs to stay out of it, her and her husband, and that's a good choice. A couple other things I thought was funny when Trump said he unknown people coming into this country. He used the word unknown, but we know what he meant. I also like when he gave Walker a shout out, and I also found it funny when they couldn't find, when he mentioned Biden for the G20 dinner, where was he? You know, and then he mentioned the paper ballots and the same day voting. I think people need to start waking up. And even in Florida, just because you see a red state doesn't mean they're all piled in for DeSantis.
There you go.
A lot of these people are Trump supporters here, and they've got to understand there's a whole lot of them here in Florida.
All right, Mark, we got to leave it there. We're late for a break. Appreciate the call. So Mark says, hey, look, there are plenty of Trump supporters still in Florida. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. And again, going back to that 1980 race, it was really fascinating. Ronald Reagan, the conservative, the Reagan Revolution, and yet the party was really divided down the line between conservatives and moderates. There had been serious talks about Reagan naming Gerald Ford as his vice president, and they would basically be they would have been co-presidents. And fortunately, at the last minute, George H.W. Bush came along, and he was the pick. Now, some people say that there were multiple reasons for that. He was a moderate, and Reagan wanted to balance out the ticket. But then you look at H.W. Bush from Texas. So you had the California, Texas, the big states, the votes. And, of course, H.W. Bush had a wealth of foreign policy knowledge that Reagan at the time did not have. But regardless, it turned out to be a powerful ticket and a power ticket that ended up really revolutionizing Republican politics. So anyway, all right, let's go back to the phones here. Jim in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM is our flagship station there. Hi, Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, thanks so much. Listen, I've been listening to your show for a while, and obviously is wonderful, but part of the thing that I want your opinion on and your thoughts of whether or not this makes sense, do you feel like we need to have some Republican individual that's more across party lines? The part that you're bringing up with Ronald Reagan, which was so powerful, was he was the governor of one of the most liberal states in the country, you know, with California. So he already proved that he was cross-platform electable. And I just am afraid that if we go with Donald Trump, and I voted for him twice, and like your previous caller, my goodness, I think he's probably one of the best presidents we've ever had. I love every single one of his policies. But how much would that be a mistake, not just with him, but anybody else that were so focused within the Republican Party, within that family, that maybe we ought to look somebody that's more electable along the independent and maybe even pull in some of the Democratic votes. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. Am I off base, or do you think I'm onto something?
No, I don't think you're off base here. Now, I will say this. Back when Reagan was elected governor of California, California was a conservative state. So it was a completely different political landscape and environment then. And remember, Reagan had been a Democrat growing up and growing up and then becoming an actor in Hollywood. And then he switched and became a Republican. And the rest is history. The reason why Reagan won is because of the Democrats who switched parties. And why did they do that? Well, we were coming out of Jimmy Carter's presidency, and Jim, I was just a little fella, but I remember the gas lines around Memphis when I was growing up. And a lot of people were so hurt and damaged economically because of Jimmy Carter's policies. They switched to the Republican Party. I think that is going to end up happening 2 years from now when our country is going to be in a world of hurt financially. But the question is, where will the independents go? You're going to have those votes to win the White House. If Trump is the nominee, there's a risk. There's a risk here that they may be turned off, but it depends on how bad the economy is. The worse it gets, I think the more attractive Trump looks, because he's already solved that problem once and he can do it again.
I hope you're right. I just hope we learn something from what was supposed to be the red wave of elections, and that ended up not even being a trickle. And I hope the Republican Party, and even the representatives within the Republican Party can learn from some of those mistakes so we don't make them again in 2 years. And my goodness, it's something that I hope was an eye-opener that we can move forward with better ideas.
And Jim, understand this. None of the stuff they've thrown at Trump from day one has turned out to be true. None of it. So we are all looking at Trump and viewing Trump, all of us, through faulty lenses. This is a good guy. I mean, he delivered on all of his campaign promises, and it doesn't matter if DeSantis is the nominee. They're going to make him look worse than Donald Trump. I'll give you an example. The gals on The View, and we've got some audio here. One of the gals on The View actually said DeSantis was what, Satan? Let's play this audio.
But I just think this, like, people think that DeSantis is quite clever, and that part of his cleverness is that he got the undocumented people on planes and flew them to Martha's Vineyard. Like, that is allegedly, like, a funny thing. I just found it to be mean. Mm-hmm. So I think it really depends on what your sense of humor is.
I've never heard he was clever. I've heard he doesn't have a charisma when he speaks, which is the opposite.
I've heard that he's very, very clever, and I think it's been written about that he's very clever
He's very smart, not known for being a retail politician. He can't do the folksy and, like, kissing babies and touching hands.
But he can do
kissing babies. I don't trust anyone that
he does those gotcha moments, like, haha,
that's true.
You're in Martha's Vineyard now. Look how clever I am. But I thought he looked like the devil in doing that.
He did.
So there you go, Jim. It doesn't matter who the Republicans put up.
Scary. I just don't know the answer. And I'm just so thankful for your show that you're bringing sanity to an insane world we're living in.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Jim. We try to do it every day. Well, look, we're going to get through this. And it doesn't matter who the nominee is going to be. And Jim, appreciate that call. It doesn't matter who the Republican nominee is going to be. They're going to crucify the guy or the gal. All right, hang tight, folks. Wow, do we have a packed show. Congressman Scott Perry on the way. Liz Harrington, President Trump's spokesperson, she's going to drop by. We've got your call, so hang tight if you're on the hold. We're going to get to you. We're not forgetting about you. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it started last night at Mar-a-Lago. What a beautiful crowd, a beautiful night as President Trump made it official. And what I thought was very interesting is how he framed this campaign. Cut number 7, please.
This will not be my campaign. This will be our campaign altogether. Because the only force strong enough to defeat the massive corruption we are up against is you, the American people. It's true. The American people, the greatest people on earth. We love them all. And we love both sides. We're going to bring people together. We're going to unify people.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. President Trump throwing his hat into the ring, running for the 2024 presidential race. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have a packed agenda for you today. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have the president's spokesperson, our good friend Liz Harrington, with us. Liz, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
So you were there last night. What was that scene like? What was the energy in that room?
You know, it was incredible. There was just so much anticipation, you know, even though a lot of people probably, you know, knew it was coming. But it really was the sense of urgency. And I think that really was the theme. You know, President Trump seizing the moment, saying the comeback starts now. And really, I mean, America needs a comeback more than ever. And Donald J. Trump is the man to lead that movement. And that clip you just played, Todd, is so crucial. I think that was the message last night. It's all about the American people are going to have to save this country. All of us together. And that's what the message is. And we started it off right last night.
No doubt about that. As a matter of fact, here's another soundbite from last night. This is President Trump weighing in on Joe Biden, cut number 9.
Now we have a president who falls asleep at global conferences, was held in contempt by the British Parliament over Afghanistan.
Again, laying out, and he went on and on and on talking about the failures of this administration and the embarrassment the United States has become on the national stage as a result of Joe Biden.
You know, Todd, it's so terrible, and it's so unworthy of America's great people. And I think that's what President Trump was talking about last night, too, is, you know, so many things are so terrible, right? The record gas prices, the open border, the Afghanistan debacle. Everything, you go down the list. But what people also know is it doesn't have to be this way. It wasn't this way under President Trump. And we can not only just get back to where we were, but we can get so much better with President Trump leading this great movement and our great people. And that's what was really striking about his message last night as well, is our best days can be ahead, and there's so many amazing things we can do, and there's nothing that can stop us. And that was really, I think, inspiring to a lot of people when we need it. We need hope, and we know that President Trump has the solutions. We know what we're going to get, unfortunately, from this awful government led by Joe Biden right now, who's frankly not leading anything. He can't even make a dinner at the G20. It's just pathetic. It's not worthy of our people. And that's why President Trump's leading this movement, to get people back engaged, get off the sidelines, and get to work. Because we've got a fight ahead, but we're going to win.
Let's talk about the other elephant in the room, which Republican elephant, which is Ron DeSantis. What's the relationship between Trump and DeSantis? Are they friendly with each other, or, you know, are the headlines true?
Well, look, Todd, you know they have a history, and President Trump was the one who gave him his endorsement and really propelled him to be a governor. He's been a good governor, and we know that. But we also know that there's only one man who's well-suited, battle-tested for this fight, and it's going to be a big one. There's one man, and that's Donald J. Trump. He's already proven. And I think what President Trump was talking about last night, we have to unify our party. We have to go forward. Patriots from all walks of life, all different stages, whatever your role is, whatever job you have, we know what the task is, and it's saving America. And so there's going to, you know, the news media is going to try to play the same games that they did from 2015 and 2016. We've seen it already. We saw it last night. Everyone's going to be against us. That's okay. We know the American people are for us, and we know we're going to win.
I know that you are busy doing more important things. I was channel surfing last night for you, Liz. There was really out of the major networks. First of all, I was shocked CNN carried it, but they did a pretty good job. They ended up dumping out. Fox News dumped out. MSDNC didn't even carry it. I think Newsmax, they're the only ones. My cable doesn't get OAN, but Newsmax carried it from start to finish. So good guys over there.
No, and that's what the people want. I think we'll see that in the ratings when they come out. I mean, people don't want you to cut away. They want to hear the complete message. And that's why people go not just to Newsmax, but they go to RSBN. They go to Real America's Voice. And there's a great amount of independent media now that have sprung up because the mainstream fake news media, and they're not mainstream at all, they're radical, they're anti-American, they're terrible, they have no credibility and they don't give people what they want. You know, it's interesting, CNN probably carried more of it because they need to get some of ratings back. They need President Trump for ratings. But quite frankly, we don't need the media. He didn't have them in 2015, 2016. We're not expecting to have them now, but that's okay. We've got the people.
Pretty sleazy of the New York Post, that little snarky headline at the bottom of the page, Florida man makes announcement, and then the story's on page, 26 or whatever. Rupert Murdoch, the reporting out there is that he's done with Trump. Is that going to impact at all losing Fox News or the New York Post or Wall Street Journal?
No, Todd, you know, we didn't have them before. And President Trump has never, he's been fighting all these people. People forget what the media climate was in 2015, 2016. And then, you know, oh, Fox is supposed to be this pro-Trump outlet. I mean, we know exactly what we're dealing with here. And we know who our friends are and who will come along later. But that's okay. We don't need them. President Trump is a force all on his own. And the American people are a force all on their own. They'll go directly to the source. We have Truth Social now to get around big tech. We've got all these great independent media as well. We're going to get our message out. And the American people, they're hungry for it. They want President Trump's leadership. And that's what he's going to deliver.
I know the president mentioned Herschel Walker. And by the way, we had Kevin Kiley on in the last segment. He was in Washington, I guess, at Congressman Training 101. So he wasn't watching the speech, but he says, all of a sudden, my phone starts exploding. And so he really appreciated the president's kind words. I'm wondering, though, is the president, has he made any considerations about going into Georgia and campaigning for Herschel?
You know, I don't think a decision has been made quite yet, but you know he supports Herschel 110%, and he endorsed him. He loves him. They're great friends. We have to win this seat. I mean, it's, you know, if we have real fair elections, which we know we're going to fight for, and we know we're diligently working towards that before 2024 and right now, this would not be close. But we got to work so hard for Herschel. I'll let President Trump make that decision and make an announcement if he's going to be visiting there. But we know it's so important. And congrats to Kevin Kiley. I think that was really nice what President Trump said about him last night. And we know getting that House was very crucial. It's not easy with these rigged elections. But President Trump had so many great candidates endorsed. They fought so hard. And congrats to Kevin. I'm glad that he was able to get us that 218.
And Liz, I'll end on this. One of the interesting things about Kevin, and we had him on back when he was in the assembly, just a good guy. But here's a man who did not run away from Donald Trump. He embraced the Trump agenda and won a congressional seat in California.
See?
That's it.
I mean, It's amazing. It really is amazing. And they don't want to talk about President Trump's record. It's really unprecedented, especially in this climate when the entire world, the entire system is against you. But it just shows if you stay true and you continue to fight, the truth ultimately will win out in the end. And we've got some amazing fighters that in this great movement, and it's only getting bigger.
All right, Liz, we're going to let you get back at it. I know you're going to have a busy, 700 and some odd days? But who's counting?
Aren't we all, though?
Yes, we are. All right, Liz, congratulations, and please give the president our best.
I will. Thanks, Todd.
All right, there you go. Liz Harrington, and what a great press secretary she is going to be. As fine as they come. All right, look, we got to take a break. What'd you think about President Trump's speech? Are you on the Trump train? Are you pulling for DeSantis? Who else do you like? We're going to get to some new audio after we take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. I want to talk to all you business owners out there for just a moment. Now, we all know things were really tough during the China virus. I mean, you paid your staff. You pulled your business through the pandemic. And now doing the tough thing could actually qualify you for up to $26,000 per employee. It's called the COVID Tax Relief, covidtaxrelief.org. Now, here's the deal. Government funds are now available to reward companies with two or more employees who stayed open during COVID. This is not a loan. You don't have to pay it back. The program is complicated. Nobody knows more about it than the CPAs and the tax experts at covidtaxrelief.org. You pay absolutely nothing up front. They do all the work, and then they share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, churches, nonprofits, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans, even if you had increases in sales. So you did the tough thing for your employees during COVID. So let covidtaxrelief.org help you get up to $26,000 per employee. Visit covidtaxrelief.org. That's covidtaxrelief.org. All right, a little personal privilege here. I'm very excited, folks. The word came down yesterday that Memphis, Tennessee, is getting yet another professional football team. And Memphis is a basketball team. And we, I love the Grizzlies. They're great, great basketball team. But the football, we have this massive, beautiful stadium that seats, 65,000 people, I believe. It's massive. And I don't think I've seen the thing full. I mean, even for the Liberty Bowl. But anyway, we're excited because the USFL has just announced they're bringing a team back to Memphis, the Memphis Showboats, which used to be here back in the 1980s. Kyle, that was long before you were even thought of. But it was a great team. Pepper Rogers, a great football coach, legend. Anyway, they're bringing the Showboats back, and we're very excited about it. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the phones. 844-747-88. Yeah, no, I'm getting season tickets. Hopefully good seats, too. Maybe even good. No, I'm not going to do a suite. No, they're nice, but it's a little pretentious. And if you're going to go to a football game, you need to be out there cheering with everybody else, not eating the caviar. All right, to the phones we go, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jesse, Statesville, North Carolina. Jesse, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. So just to reiterate the past couple calls of what a president does what he promises the people that he's going to do when he gets in there is how great a country can be. You know, like Trump's first was like a boxing match. He had his gloves on, but his second term, he was going to be slinging his gloves off. And what I would really like to see is, because both sides of the party, in my opinion, has gotten so corrupt and so dirty, I think I would like to see him run as an independent and create a new Christian party and see who could come to that and unite into one, you know. get two-thirds of the majority and get rid of this division.
So, Jesse, so your take is to so you think we need a third political party that would be called the Christian Party? Is that it?
That's right. To get rid of this division, the two parties that are so corrupt and divided, it just causes chaos. That's all it ever does. And it's like a ball that just keeps getting tossed back and forth.
I see what you're saying here, Jesse, but I'm a good old Southern Baptist, and I've been to church business meetings.
Me too.
I've been to church business meetings on Wednesday night. I'm not too sure we want our politicians emulating that. That could get kind of ugly. Jesse, appreciate the call. No, I mean, look, I'm telling you, they're slinging around mud at those church business meetings. Let's go to our good friend Patty in North Carolina. Patty, I was hoping you would call in today. I'm curious to get your thoughts on last night.
All right, here we go, Todd. I did not jump off the train like every other Judas, okay? I am sticking with him. He knows what he's doing. He knows every leader and every country. He knows the deal. DeSantis, I love him. But it's different from running a country is different than running a state.
No doubt about it. But he does have experience. And Patty, I really would like to see a Trump DeSantis ticket. I think that's the strongest way for us to go.
I thought them two would be great. I thought, you know, I don't know the deal, what's going on, but last night when I watched him, he looks great. He you know, and it felt so good to see somebody not being a gaffy duck and not shaking hands with dead people. It looked great. That's a leader. That was a leader last night. That's what we need back in this country.
And he didn't have an extra head growing out of his neck. I appreciated that.
Another thing I want to agree with you, thank you, Ivanka and Jared. See ya.
Yeah, time to retire. Head on to, enjoy the beach. Just stay out of Washington.
Exactly, Todd. And you know what? I believe that, you know, like I said, DeSantis, I hope they work it out because, you know, like I said, though, Trump's been there. He knows all the world leaders. And they respect him, and they know he knows the deal, and that's what I'm saying. I think that he would. I want him back. I really do. I miss him.
By the way, can I just say something? You brought up how good he looked. Donald Trump looks really good. You know, these guys when they're president, when they leave office, Patty, and I appreciate the call. We're going to have to skedaddle here, but when they leave office. I mean, Barack Obama looks like Darth Sidious from Star Wars, right? He just looks like ancient, but not Donald Trump. He looks really good for his age. Oh, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. Very busy news day. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Andy Biggs joins us. Congressman, big news yesterday, and we understand that a good many people are wanting Kevin McCarthy to be the new Speaker of the House, but he just doesn't have the numbers right now.
No, he doesn't, Todd. You need 218 to become the Speaker. Although the things being equal, because that's the majority of the body. The official vote takes place January 3rd and requires every person to stand up and say who they're voting for. But in the secret ballot that we took within our conference yesterday, 36 people voted against Mr. McCarthy.
So what happens between now and January?
Well, what's going to happen is, he will go out and try to recruit his votes. I mean, he's going to try to cut some deals with people. In the meantime, there are people who are not ever going to vote for Kevin who are going to try to find some kind of candidate. May not be me, may be somebody else that they think that they can get a consensus of. But Well, we have a really thin majority, so that means that any 3 to 5 people can band together and basically say no. And that's we're going to have to find somebody in this conference that fewer than 3 people object to. So if you follow me on that, so that means we're going to end up with 219, 220 maybe. If it's 220, that's 5. If it's 219, it's 3. That means that 216 people are going to have to approve somebody to get him across the line.
And, you know, it's interesting because I think you would make a terrific Speaker of the House. You clearly did not have the votes, but is there a chance that you could become the Speaker of the House?
Well, thank you for saying that. There is a chance. It would take lightning to strike. It'd take a miracle.
Yes.
But you know, the reality is, if it's not me, and I'm okay if it's not me, we just have to have somebody who's going to advance the America First Republican Party agenda, who's going to use every tool in the toolbox to prevent Joe Biden from advancing the America Last Marxist agenda. And then we're going to have somebody who's willing to, I mean, Mr. McCarthy said he didn't want to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, I was dubious about Kevin up to that point. When he said that, I said, that's it. Because Alejandro Mayorkas must be held accountable for what he has done to our border. And so, I mean, you got to need somebody who will do that. Somebody else who's going to do the investigations and the oversight that needs to be done of this malicious, malevolent regime that Joe Biden presides over.
Yeah, for me, it was, and I was so encouraged to hear you and other Freedom Caucus members weighing in on that really tepid commitment to America. And I think that, you know, when you look at the numbers we did get, and you know, for example, in New York State with the work of Lee Zeldin and the you know, Long Island going red, this was a missed opportunity, and Kevin McCarthy just did not inspire the troops.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, you know, I put out mine a year ago almost of the America First plan, and mine was much more detailed. If you go on mine, you'll see a list of legislation that I propose under each category, because I wanted people to know we're going to do something. And I think that is the huge problem here, is that Kevin poll tested it. He poll tested in such a way that you come up with this kind of milquetoast commitment to America. And quite frankly, nobody knew about it, Todd. I did literally hundreds of meetings and public groups, cottage meetings, meet and greets, you know, in people's homes and whatnot. And I would say, how many of you heard of Commitment with America? Because I just wanted to know. I think maybe 5 people out of literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people that I was meeting with ever raised their hand. And when I said, well, what about it do you like? They all said they had never read it.
No.
And that was the point. They never got the message of what we could do.
Congressman Andy Biggs is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Congressman, one of the concerns that's been mentioned is the idea that you could have some rogue rhino congressman join forces with the Democrats and put somebody like Liz Cheney up on that speaker's chair. Is that a real threat or concern?
I think that's a red herring. You know, is that Marjorie said that. I love Marjorie. She's a good friend, and we agree a whole bunch, but on this one we disagree on. And I just don't think that's going to happen. The people that said, oh, well, I'll go with a Democrat if it's not Kevin, they've already backed off those statements because they know it's absurd. Nobody here wants a Democrat, but we also know that there's probably 10 or more people that will never vote for Kevin. So it's time to start finding a consensus candidate. I mean, it's probably not going to be me or Kevin, but it's time to find a consensus candidate so we can get this thing done on January 3rd and go forward.
If it's not you or Kevin, who would you like to see?
Well, I'd love to see Jim Jordan, you know, and I think Jim could possibly pull this off. I mean, he's he is, you know, he's made his peace with the people who didn't like him before, I think. And I think he's done a great job as the judiciary ranking member. And I don't know that he necessarily wants it, but he would be a great speaker. I think that there's some probably some people, even on the more moderate side, who understand the necessity of working with the conservative side. And I've talked with them, and when you talk to some of them, you say, what would be the first 10 bills that you do? And they start listing the things that you and I might list, things like we got to finish the wall. You have to fix Title IX so that men can't get into women's locker rooms. You have to fix the appropriations process to make sure we balance out. You got to take away funding to these sanctuary cities. You got to restore the Keystone XL pipeline and other pro-energy projects. These are things that we all agree on. And so the question is, are you willing to use the tools to fight the regime and advance our cause? And regardless of what the Senate's going to do, we have no control over the Senate. We're going to lose the Senate. The Senate's going to be in Democrat hands again. But what will the House do in Republican hands? And it can't just be performance art. It has to be real, meaningful effort using leverage of the budget, of the NDAA, these things to make sure that you make them sterile. I mean, get back to single subject rules. So you have a bill that says only build the fence. How about that? Just do that so we all can vote that up or down so everybody can see how they vote. How about saying let's restore the men and women who were released from the military because of vax mandates? I mean, these are things that we all agree on. And, you know, when Kevin said, look, we're not going to impeach Mayorkas, I think that there's a problem with that. I think there's a real problem with that.
Congressman, before we let you go, what did you think about President Trump's big news last night?
Well, I'm supportive of President Trump. I think it's good news. I thought the way he handled things was very good. And he is the leader of our party, and he will be until the majority of our party says he's not. And the majority of our party says Donald Trump's the leader. I think he's going to win the nomination. I think he's going to win the presidency ultimately. And I'm excited about that because we need to restore this country after what's been done to it.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
You hear the people singing a song of Donald Trump. It is time to take the Democrats and Biden to the dump. Trump is going to run again. Hear the beating of the drums. He will drain the swamp and throw out all the bombs. Will you join in our crusade and help the Donald win? Make sure the Democrats take it on the chin and join in the fight that will make us great once again. Do you hear the people sing? Sing a song of Trump's return. We love you, Ron DeSantis, but you should wait your turn. Trump is going to run again. He will be the nominee. And in 2 years, once again, we will be free.
I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
Wow. So Jim Gossett normally handles Thursday nights in the lounge here at the Broadcast Center, but now he's making it to Broadway. Well done, Jim Gossett, one of the great parody writers here on the Todd Starnes radio show. By the way, I don't know if you caught the connection there, but Trump, when he walked out last night, was walking out to the theme song from Les Mis, which is all about revolution. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Cindy is hanging out with us from the beautiful state of Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hey, Cindy, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to weigh in on last night. I was so grateful I got to hear most of, I guess really all of the president's speech on the radio. I have to tell you, and I mean this sincerely, I was overwhelmed. I felt like everything he was sharing, it was like our country's going to get saved. And I felt that I was going to be saved, that I've been so fearful of going to a communist country, and we're so far into it. Everything he shared was what he's already accomplished when he was president. And I feel that by running again and becoming president, he knows what to do. He's done it. He's been there. He can do it. And a lot of these leaders in these other countries, they're going to be shaking in their shoes because they know they can't finagle the bagel with him. I was very, very impressed. He didn't go into any losses that he had. He did, which I've heard many of you, the talk show host and other people share, we need to go to one day, national holiday, you vote that day, paper, ID, a few absentee ballots, but those be very specialized, so that we get the results like we used to by midnight, the same day we voted. I mean, we're still voting. They're going to vote again in December for Herschel Walker, which he gave an excellent shout-out to Herschel. I thought everything he shared, he did it firmly but with dignity and respect. I was impressed. I got to tell you, I'm usually very quiet, but I gave out a few thank you, Jesus moments because I just felt like he can save us. And I've listened to a lot of speeches, both here locally and national, from Republicans. I never felt like that as I did with him last night. I did not vote for him the first time, but I definitely did the second time because I saw what he could do. I wasn't looking at a personality. He's got the gumption and the guts, and he really loves our country. And we don't have people in there today that love our country. They're trying to destroy it, and they're doing an awful good job of it, and it's scary. Here in Portland, we've got socialist Democrats that are running our city. Never thought I'd see it. We have got the worst dysfunctional cream of the crop, and it's a shame. I'm very impressed, and I want to tell you, I was very impressed listening to Liz. I love when you have her on.
She's good.
She tells it like it is.
She does. She doesn't Cindy finagle the bagel, as you just said. I'm writing that down. I've never heard that phrase before.
What can I say? Up here in Maine, you know, I've been waiting a long time, but I've heard everything that you've said on your show, and I said, oh, I'm not going to hang up. Because I need to let people know there's still some people here in Maine and Portland, Maine, that are functional, common-sense thinkers, that we care about the Republican Party. There needs to be some changes. We need to get people with some backbone that speak up, but with dignity. And he
Cindy,
did that.
Cindy, let me tell you what the solution is. The solution is we need more people listening to talk radio. This is where you're going to get the unadulterated truth. We're not gonna blow smoke up anybody's wazoo here. We're not going to finagle the bagel, as Cindy says. We're just going to tell it like it is.
Well, Todd, I got to tell you, I finally got common sense quite a few years ago when I got rid of cable. I realized I had the basic package. I didn't listen to that much, but there was things I didn't understand. And somebody turned me on to talk radio, and I've been listening to it ever since. And what a difference. And I ask people around me that don't get the message, but they're still listening to that awful, awful lies that are coming across on these other stations on TV and cable. And it's sad because they're in so much denial. Even with stuff right in front of them, they just... And they're good people, but they're just not there. They don't get it. And I don't know if they're afraid to speak out. Who knows what they do in the, you know, the voting booth. It's private, but a lot of them still are diehard Democrats.
Well, Cindy, we're going to do our best here. We're going to do our best to convert people to the right way of thinking. And we got to run, Cindy, but God bless
you. Thank you so much.
And you give me a call back, Cindy. You got your eye on things there in Maine, and we appreciate the great work you're doing, and thank you for listening as well. Hey, let's go to James in Memphis, Tennessee. KWAM, our great affiliate there. All right, James, president spoke last night. What do you think?
I hope he runs.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's going to run. I think that's great. One of the things I think we need to tell these people that don't vote properly is that
We're not a democracy. We're a republic. They need to look those two words up and see what they mean.
James, you know, it seems to me, I don't know where you went to school. I went to school right across the state line in Mississippi when I was a boy growing up. But we took civics. We took American history. And back in the 1970s and 80s, at least, we were taught what it meant to be an American citizen. But you're right. A lot of people don't even understand that basic knowledge of us being a republic and not a democracy.
And one other thing is, I think we as voters, like Trump said, we are the only ones that can change it. He can try to help us, but we have to, when we go into a booth, we have to understand what's at stake and do it. And because if we don't change the people that are in office, we'll never change.
James,
they will be what they are.
Yeah, you're right. And on that note, I hate to break it to you folks, but it looks like McConnell is going to be reelected as the minority leader of the Senate. And folks, I'm telling you, as long as McConnell is in charge, Republicans are always going to be in the minority. And if you want to make a change in the House, now is the time to do that by getting on the phone and calling your elected congressperson. It doesn't matter who they are. Give them a call and say that you want to change and you don't want McCarthy. And you heard Congressman Andy Biggs talking about that. McCarthy's got to have 218 votes to become the Speaker of the House. He doesn't have them right now, and he doesn't need them. James, appreciate that call, sir. Folks, we got to take a break. Scott Perry, Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, coming on, and a very dangerous story for all you Christians out there. We're going to tell you about that coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're doing well, and happy Wednesday to you. All you folks in Georgia, big, big Herschel Walker rally tomorrow. And I'm hearing what Tim Scott's going to be there, maybe Marco Rubio. Yours truly. I just got a text message from the Walker campaign and asked if I could be down in Georgia tomorrow. So we're going to try to work all of that out. But hopefully I will see a lot of you folks, boots on the ground in Georgia, as we pull out all the stops to make sure Herschel Walker is the next Republican senator from the state of Georgia. Following another breaking news story, just horrible story out of Los Angeles County, where 25 law enforcement recruits, we understand these folks were with the Sheriff's Department, LA County Sheriff's Department. They were part of the Star Explorer Training Academy. 25 people run over by a wrong-way driver. This guy plowed into the recruits while they were jogging. That happened earlier today. We don't have any information on the motive here. So we don't know if this was intentional, if it was an accident. We're waiting to get more information from the Sheriff's Department, and we'll keep you updated. We understand as many as 11 of those cadets in critical condition right now, so certainly want to pray for those folks today. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, good friend of this program. He is the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell, I know what you have many people in law enforcement there in your church. Are you guys hearing anything about what happened down there?
We have not heard any motive either, but we are praying for those that were critically injured. We know there were five that are critically injured, and it was in Whittier, California, which is where the academy is for the Sheriff's Department, and so we're all praying for them, and it's been quite a few days for them. Our friend Sheriff Alex Villanueva lost the reelection bid, and so we have a new sheriff in town, Sheriff Luna, and so we're just praying for all of the department, because this is the type of thing that runs deeply as far as the grieving process, and we're just praying that these men and ladies will recover.
Absolutely. And again, another big story that we've been following, and it is currently developing in Washington, D.C., Pastor Chappell. It involves a piece of legislation called the Respect for Marriage Act. There are many in the religious liberty community that are very concerned that this legislation could put a target on the backs of Christians, and a lot of people are very, very concerned about this. What say you?
Well, I have the same concern, and many of us felt it was rushed through the House of Representatives when they dealt with this 6 or so months ago, and now it's just suddenly being pushed on the front burner of this session of Senate. And the ramifications are great, because it's quite obvious that there are people who detest biblical values and the Christians who hold them, and this is a way to begin to encroach upon Christian nonprofits and churches with really the idol of the left. And the left has an idolatry toward this LGBTQ agenda, and they bow down to the LGBTQ, they tithe to them by way of their ESG financial policies. It is their god. And because of that, they want to put it on the forefront of the legislative agenda. It was interesting. I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, Franklin Graham placed something on his social media that caught my attention. But he was speaking of this issue, and he said, God defines what sin is, not us. And every person is guilty of sin, all of us included. But he said it was God who defines sexual orientation as male and female. His laws and standards are given to mankind out of truth and love. And I just completely concur with that. You open the Bible to the book of Genesis, and it's just so simple. Male and female created he them. So they want to enshrine this into the laws of the 50 states. I believe it will be a problem if it passes for many years to come.
And we know that because when Barack Obama so infamously said, hey, look, gay marriage is not going to have anything to – it's not going to impact your life at all. You live your life. You do you, Christians. This is not going to affect you at all. And, of course, now we know that was a lie. It is impacting especially Christian business owners and especially those in the wedding industry. And yeah. I have no doubt that this is, once it's codified, you're going to see a whole nother slew of lawsuits being directed at Christian business owners and possibly churches.
And I believe discrimination towards employees of large corporations who attend Bible-believing churches, that's coming as well. Just yesterday in Seattle, we heard of Christians who had just Christmas decor in their home offices, and there are laws being now considered in the city of Seattle to force people to remove any Christian symbolism from their home if they're going to do a Zoom meeting. And there's a hatred for the things of God, including his original design for marriage. And so it's interesting because this is happening so quickly. Barack Obama, the first time he ran on a policy that marriage was between a man and a woman. Then he changed his mind. And most all of these politicians that are 60 and younger, 60 and older rather, have changed their mind on this. But God hasn't changed his. And, you know, as believers, we have a standard that we are called to. And as it clashes with this culture, we need to do our best to let the senators know. And tonight at our church, we're going to have them contacting the senators here in California, which normally falls on deaf ears, but we'll do all we can in this state to raise our concerns.
Well, and it's not just the Democrats here. We have a list. This is a freshly updated list of Republican senators who are supporting this. And all of these folks, by the way, were just like Barack Obama. And one of them in particular was staunchly opposed to same-sex marriage. That would be Mitt Romney of Utah, who now supports the bill. Also, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Rob Portman of Ohio, and Susan Collins of Maine. Lisa Murkowski is hinting that she will support this, along with Senators Let's see here. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa telling Business Insider that she was keeping an open mind about the bill. So you could have more Republican senators joining the Democrats, Pastor.
Yeah, that's a concern. And, you know, I always, as a pastor, I always ask myself, you know, what's the faith base of the individual making that vote? You know, what's going on at their home church? Because it usually influences them. And then the second thing is, who are their donors? And there's a lot of money that comes from this crowd. What they're all saying is that, you know, this was passed at the Supreme Court level. We're just agreeing with the Supreme Court. But that's not exactly, as I understand it, true. This is an opportunity for them to be what our founders intended, a checks and balances in how far this law is codified and how much of a nuisance it becomes to the faith community. And so at the very least, they need to consider language in this that excludes religious organizations, and I've yet to hear about that.
Well, it's an opportunity for Americans to pick up the phone and call their elected leaders. If this is passed in the Senate with amendments, and they say that there will be an amendment that will protect the religious community, I'm not so sure about that. But regardless, it'll have to go back to the House of Representatives. And we understand a number of Republicans there support this. So we'll see how this plays out. But people need to call and let your elected leaders in Washington know where you stand on this issue and how you want them to vote. Pastor That's Chappell, right. Things going well at West Coast Baptist College. And I want to give you a plug here. You got to let folks know about West Coast Baptist College.
Well, we're thrilled with what God is doing at West Coast Baptist College. It's, of course, a four-year Christian Bible college training servant leaders to get out into the churches and hold to the truths like we're talking about, but most importantly, of course, the gospel. And we're very thankful for around 800 students that are receiving a quality education. And they're involved in ministry while they train for ministry. We're here in northern Los Angeles County with students from 46 states, and we're excited about the growth we're seeing both spiritually and academically. And folks can check it out at wcbc.edu.
All right. Well, Pastor, always appreciate your great insight, and we appreciate your great leadership in this country.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for being a voice that's on top of these issues, Todd, and it's great to talk to you today as well.
Pastor Paul Chappell, ladies and gentlemen, Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College there in northern Los Angeles County, one of the prettiest places for a college. And if you haven't been to their campus, I would encourage you to do that. They have so many wonderful conferences, and they are making a difference in California. They stayed put, and they are growing and just doing some incredible work there. Again, folks, this marriage bill, and look, it's America. How you want to live your life, that's between you and the Lord. The United States Constitution allows you to make those decisions for yourself. You also have a right as a United States citizen to call your lawmakers and to lobby them. And we've got to make sure that religious liberty is protected. I'm sick and tired of these little bakers, these wedding planners, and these florists being bullied and badgered by these radical activists. And that's got to stop. It's not right. You have a right to believe and follow the teachings of the Holy Bible. That's what America was founded on. And we got to put a stop to this. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And for that matter, the Supreme Court has already ruled on this. So that's what concerns me, is that this seems to be yet another attempt to go after people of the Christian faith and conservatives in particular. And that has to stop. All right, folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we're getting some new information on the attack on Paul Pelosi that happened in the wee hours of the morning. Is this not the strangest story? The mainstream media has completely stopped covering it. There are so many questions, and anytime a reporter dares to publish what appears to be the truth, or at least a narrative that conflicts with the official narrative coming out of Congress, they get whacked. So the latest information here, NBC News, they suspended a journalist for reporting that there were some new details and that Paul Pelosi was the one who actually opened the door for the police, but did not try to escape, did not declare an emergency, and actually walked away from the police and walked back to the man they said was his attacker, the man accused of hitting him on the skull with a hammer. Now, look, we've been pretty open about this. We don't think anybody deserves to be hit on the head with a hammer. They said he had a fractured skull and these horrific injuries, and yet he was released from the hospital within just a day or two of being admitted. And you wonder, okay, well, I mean, the guy's in his 80s, and he's got a fractured skull, allegedly, and all of these other injuries, allegedly. So why would they let him get out of the hospital so quickly? That didn't make any sense to me. But anyway, that's not part of the reporting here. So now NBC News is in the process of scrubbing from every one of their websites any information that was reported about Pelosi that they now consider to be, I don't know, inappropriate. They haven't said it's factually inaccurate. And here's the issue. The local NBC station reported this information. There are two different versions of what happened. Now, one version indicates that two police officers opened the door of the home. But the San Francisco District Attorney's Office reported that it was Mr. Pelosi who opened the door with his left hand. So it's not like there's some sort of, I mean, they're pretty specific here. They also cited a source familiar with the investigation who personally watched the body cam footage from the night and said officers knocked on the door of the home, then backed away. The video clearly shows Paul Pelosi opening the door with his left hand. The body cam video shows officers having a brief conversation with Pelosi and David DePape before DePape starts beating Pelosi with a hammer. Quote, we reached out to the Department of Justice for an explanation of its differing account of the seemingly innocuous issue of who opened the door, but so far we have not heard back. Well, that's because it's not innocuous. Because they're telling us the guy broke into the home, woke up Paul Pelosi, and then started beating the guy up with a hammer. But that clearly is not what happened. We have asked to hear the 911 tape that Paul Pelosi made. People have asked to see the body cam footage, but they're not releasing the footage, and Nancy Pelosi is asking for privacy. Again, it's we don't know what happened in there. There was other reporting that the two were found cavorting about in their underpants, and those reports were, again, retracted, but they were out there, and it wasn't like some sort of a weird news agency. These were legitimate local news stations that were reporting all of this information. Oh, my goodness. So, are you believing what they're trying to sell us here? Something is way off here. And you can speculate, I guess, but it's just weird that you would have two guys in their underpants hanging out in the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. And Mr. Pelosi says that he was being brutally attacked. And so what does he do? Well, he goes to the front door. And by the way, the Capitol Police were surveilling the home, but they just happened to be, I don't know, taking a break or doing something while all of this was happening. It just doesn't make any sense. By the way, we've got some new information from the New York Times, of all places. Upwards of at least 20 FBI and ATF agents were embedded in the crowd outside the Capitol on January 6. We also can report, and this information was actually found in a footnote, that at least 8 FBI agents had infiltrated the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. And one of the FBI agents, one of the informants, was actually a vice president of the group. And my only question here is this. Well, I have a couple of questions. But as we go to break, I want you to ponder this question. So if the FBI knew that all of this was going to happen, why didn't they stop it? they had plenty of people in the group. They had informants. They knew what was going to happen, and they didn't stop it. Not only that, the Capitol Police were told to stand down. Not only that, they told President Trump, we don't need any National Guard troops. Nancy Pelosi had the chance to put more police out there, and they did not do it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the FBI stood down as the riots took place? They could have stopped it, but they didn't. I have a theory about why. I'll explain that coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, let me give you the rundown here from what just happened up on Capitol Hill. So Mitch McConnell won election to be Senate Minority Leader. And you say, okay, well, who voted against it? What was the vote? Who voted against him? The vote was 37-10 with one senator voting present. McConnell defeated Florida Senator Rick Scott. By the way, that's the first time he's had a challenger in 15 years. And it looks like the moderate Republicans pretty much control the Senate now. I want to go down the list of who got elected. So John Barrasso of Wyoming was elected a Senate Republican Conference Chairman. Montana Senator Steve Daines is going to replace Rick Scott as Chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. John Thune will continue as whip. So that is your leadership. Now, we can't tell you who voted no. We do know Ted Cruz voted against McConnell, but it was a secret vote. So there you they don't. That's how these weasels operate. They don't want to do anything in public. They can't handle the pressure. So they do things in secret behind closed doors. And so there you go. McConnell winning secret ballot. And will continue leading the dwindling number of Republican senators. Unbelievable. So John Cornyn of Texas says he's eager to get past divisions with his Republican colleagues. He says Republicans should focus on helping Herschel Walker in the December 6th runoff against Raphael Warnock. So there you have it, folks. Up next will be the big vote, and this will determine who controls the House of Representatives, who will be the Speaker of the House. Right now, Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes, and he's got to find the votes. 218 is the magic number there. You heard Andy Biggs from Arizona, who, by the way, Andy Biggs says that this is a red herring, this idea that, well, Democrats could pitch Liz Cheney the job and maybe some renegade Republicans, some rhinos, would actually vote for Cheney. I don't think that's going to happen. But you never know with this crowd. You never know. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Jerry in Iowa, and Jerry, I understand you took my advice to call your senator. What happened?
I certainly did, Brother Todd. It was scary, not scary, that I just looked up on the internet, Senator Joni Ernst in Iowa, and her phone number, and by golly, if there wasn't a staffer there, and he took my call, and I said that in the past, I voted for Joni Ernst. She's a real nice gal. However, if she supports gay marriage in any way, shape, or form, I will become a little crusader against her. And I also said in my little sphere, my social world, I'm calling a radio station here, so you guys, and I said that it is being talked about on the air. I didn't say where, but I like to encourage everybody else to do that. It's real easy. You just look up the phone number and say, do not support gay marriage. Because we will never forget it if you do. So thank you, Todd.
Well,
thanks for the advice.
Jerry, hey, happy to do it. And look, it's, I mean, those calls matter. I mean, somebody took down your information. They made sure to get your position. And I'm telling you, if you light up the phones on Capitol Hill, people are going to respond. Your lawmakers do respond. You don't have to be mean and nasty about it, but you can give them a call and give them your opinion. Whether or not, and this is really not about gay marriage, and hear me, this is not about gay marriage. This is about protecting religious liberty. And I am not, we will not allow good-hearted Christian people to be persecuted and prosecuted because of their religious beliefs. This is the United States of America. Oh, by the way, our good buddy Sebastian Gorka weighing in on Ron DeSantis, he says that DeSantis needs to step aside, cut number 16.
Fox and some Republicans say Trump is the past. We see that now. DeSantis is the future. We have sources here saying that the Florida governor is organizing to make a run. That's what at least our sources are telling us. What are your thoughts on all this?
Okay, first things first. Woodward's comments about the presidency being a sacred trust. Was it a sacred trust when JFK was having sex with Jacqueline Kennedy's press secretary in the swimming pool in the West Wing? Was it a sacred trust when Obama was using his secured iPad to drone American citizens in Yemen? Was it a sacred trust when Bill Clinton was having sex under the Resolute desk? Come on, guys, don't talk to us about sacred trusts, okay? We had a guy in the Oval who I worked for who didn't even pick a paycheck up for 4 years,
yeah.
Didn't need the money, didn't need the fame, and as you said, has been pilloried and attacked by the rhino establishment and the left for 6 years now, including his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? And Ron, if you're listening, you've been a great governor of Florida, but you governed Florida as a mini-me version of President Trump. You wouldn't be the governor of Florida if he hadn't endorsed you against a drug addict who was going to whip your ass and was going to win that governor's race. He endorsed you, and you were a success because you used the Trump model. And it's a little bit weird for me. God bless you for everything you've done in Florida. But for 10 months now, the establishment, including the Republican Party, has been throwing President Trump under the bus, saying we need Ron DeSantis. And you haven't said anything. You should be in the next Trump administration. And I don't mean like a veep, because a veep is an irrelevant job.
Right.
You glad had hand people who the president doesn't want to meet. You should be in the cabinet, Ron.
All right. So what do you think about that here, folks? Maybe a cabinet level position for Ron DeSantis. I don't think he's going to go for that. And why should he? I'd like DeSantis. If DeSantis does well in the primaries, then I say he's Trump's VP. And that's the unity ticket right there. And I would still like to see both of them on a bus traveling together, holding a rally for Herschel Walker. Imagine what sort of a message it would send to see Donald Trump. On one side, you got Ron DeSantis. On the other, you got Brian Kemp, Herschel Walker, front and center. I think that is a great image of unity for the nation. Well, folks, no doubt about it, President Trump has spoken. Now Newsmax is conducting an urgent poll, and I need you guys to participate in this poll. Will you support Trump again or DeSantis? Trump or DeSantis? Newsmax wants to know what you think, and you can vote in their new national poll by texting the word RALLY to 39747. That's RALLY to 39747. It will take just a matter of seconds to cast your vote, Trump or DeSantis. Text RALLY to 39747. Folks, Newsmax, their coverage last night, spectacular. And by the way, if you haven't started watching Newsmax, you need to do it. They've got a great lineup. Rob Schmidt, one of my favorites there. Sean Spicer, Greta Van Susteren. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax, and you should too. And by the way, do not forget, vote right now, RALLY to 39747. We'll be right back. Let's get to the phones here. Been a good day here on the program. 844-747-8868. Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same. I'm so disgusted. You know, I'm with Trump all the way, but I, after hearing your latest news, I don't think it even matters. Because McConnell and the rhinos, they're just as much against Trump as the Democrats are. He's not going to get any support from them. They're going to do everything they can to see that he's not nominated. And I just don't even care anymore because it's just hopeless. I've said that before. You told me to cheer up, but really it is hopeless with McConnell. It's just hopeless.
Well, I don't think it is hopeless, Mike. I mean, we're making gains. It's taken a while, and it's going to take a while because we didn't get in this predicament overnight. But we've just got to hold these people accountable. We've got to hold our senators accountable. And one of the things you ought to do is pick up the phone and call your two senators and find out how they voted on the Mitch McConnell issue.
I'm doing that. I called to ask them both to get McConnell out of here, and I'm going to call and see how they voted. Believe me. I don't see how it can be a secret.
No, I'm with you on that. That's cowardice. You know, I want transparency. That's how the Democrats act. You know, be man enough, be woman enough to cast your vote in public.
Yeah, McConnell's just going to stab us in the back again. He hates Trump.
Oh, no. Well, no doubt about it. And again, these are a lot of factors that we've got to consider, because if Trump does get the nomination, you better believe that McConnell and these rhinos, and I'm talking about George W., I'm talking about Dick Cheney, they're all going to be coming after Trump, and they're going to be sabotaging him behind the scenes.
No doubt.
All that to say, we've got to get the – look, Ronald Reagan had this problem. And yet Ronald Reagan was able to steamroll over everybody and get the not only the nomination, but he won the presidency.
Yeah, well, we can hope.
I'll keep
rooting for him. Yeah, I'll keep hoping for Trump and doing everything I can, but it's just really disappointing.
All right, hang in there, Mike. Don't get discouraged. Look, I know it's frustrating, but don't get discouraged. It's going to be good. Let's go to Jeff in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, you had the topic about DeSantis and Trump, and I didn't have a chance to pull over in my truck, but I wanted to call today. This is my take on it. Trump and DeSantis ticket is not going to, it's not going to happen. This is my feeling. I've talked to my church friends and my coffee group. Everybody just about feels the same. Trump needs to tone it down. If someone on his staff is listening, he needs to tone down the rhetoric, the demeaning, on and on and on, the same old, same old. We're tired of it. I was a Trump supporter. I loved his policies, and I think he's a good man. But he's got to learn to keep his mouth shut. If he would reduce it by 80%, I think he would win. But if he continues like he's been doing, you know, demeaning and cutting people down, we're tired of it. He's going to lose the independents, and he's going to lose some Republicans. So he's got, between now and the convention, he's got to prove to me. Now, right now, I'm for DeSantis, only because I've seen what he's done in Florida. Now, Trump proved himself. He was a great president, probably one of our best, maybe the best. But when Biden was sworn in, there was a scripture that came to my mind. I can't tell you where it is right now, but it says, pride comes before the fall. Todd, there is no man in the history of the world that has been more prouder than Donald Trump. Let's all face it. He was a proud man, told us every day all of his accomplishments. We know all of that. There's a time to shut up. There's a time to listen. Now, I'm for him. But if there's somebody on his staff, let me tell you, there's a lot of people who feel like me. He needs to tone it down. He needs to forget about the election. That's going to be awfully hard for a man like him. But he's going to have to forget that, put the foot to the pedal, and if he tones down his rhetoric, I'll be for him. If he doesn't, I'll be for Ron DeSantis.
All right, Jeff, I hear you, and I will make a notation of this. And again, there's a lot of time. We're talking about 700 days, over 700 days. And I think there are a lot of people that feel just like you do, that are diehard Trump supporters. And we all need a course correction. And the question is, Can President Trump make that course correction, and will he stick with the correction once it happens? That's the question. Jeff, appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. By the way, President Trump did touch on the voter fraud issue last night. Cut number 11, please.
We will do whatever it takes to bring back honesty, confidence, and trust in our elections. To eliminate cheating, I will immediately demand voter ID, same-day voting, and only paper ballots. Only paper ballots.
Well, I like that, but again, we're talking about local elections here, and the question is, do you want to nationalize all of your elections? Do you want to have a common system of voting? I mean, that's what the president's talking about there. Let's go to PJ. WDUN in Georgia wants to weigh in on this Respect for Marriage Act. Hey, PJ, what's up?
Hey, Todd. We need to be careful and be very serious about it when we try to stop things like the gay marriage where it'll affect the church. Because if we don't do it, once it gets established, you can't hardly stop these things. So I just wanted to say how very important it is that whatever we can do, we need to do it to stop this stuff, because it will come at the churches and it will persecute good people that stands for the Lord.
Oh, no doubt about that. The way it's written right now, they're going to be coming after everybody who doesn't support this, doesn't support same-sex marriage. Now, here's the issue, PJ, and we don't have a lot of time. We'll try to get into this tomorrow. But PJ, the broader question is, should the Supreme Court, and this is, you know, Clarence Thomas raised this issue, which is why they want to codify this. He said, just like Roe v. Wade, the government has no right to tell individual states how to rule on those issues. Those are states' issues. And he was just trying to say that he believes that gay marriage is a state issue, not a federal issue.
Yes, sir, I would go along with that. I think that it is I think the federal government should stay out of the stuff because they're so messed up so much. I think it ought to go back to the states and stay the states. But I do believe that whoever can and anybody that has a platform ought to stand against it, because they will persecute, just like you said, bakeries. I mean, well, you can't have a business without this stuff coming at you. You can't do anything in society anymore. And once it's established in the law, you can't stand against it.
That's true. And we have seen, look, we've seen this happen. They told us, Obama told us, folks, what's the problem? What are you, all you people worried about, all you Christians out there? You go live your life. You do you. This isn't going to impact you at all. Well, it turned out, by golly, it did impact all of us. And we have seen the court cases come down one after the other. A lot of people are really seeing their lives ruined simply because they follow the Bible's teachings on that. So, PJ, good call. Folks, we'll try to have Congressman Scott Perry with us tomorrow. Busy day up on Capitol Hill. A lot going on. And, of course, the big fight for control of the House still underway. Republicans technically one seat away from gaining power. And the big question is, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House? So we're going to get into more of that tomorrow. And in the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com. We have some great stories up. We'll be also following this crazy story out of California with these law enforcement cadets who were hit by this wrong-way driver. All right, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Great day, great calls, great conversation. And guess what? We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. All right, folks, have a good one, everybody. Be good, America.